it to me.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting video streaming live from our studios, New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. Today, you're going to learn about how fermented green coffee has potent anti-cancer effects, and that's thanks to chlorogenic acid and sulfactant, two chemicals in that. This is from the Dankook Korea University in South Korea, and a lot more on health and healing. And then I'm going to take a few calls, but most importantly today, I'm going to air part of an unusual documentary biography. And it's based upon a series of archival footages from a press conference I gave on AIDS, how AIDS is not a death sentence. Doctors, nurses, patients from two separate scientific centers, the Tri-State Healing Center and the Institute of Applied Biology, where I was able to completely eliminate HIV infection and all opportunistic infections, pneumocystis, green and pneumonia, Kaposi sarcoma, thrush, wasting disease, in people suffering from full-blown AIDS, 15 of them, minimally. I work with 1,200 all told over 20 years, but 15 reversed it. To our knowledge, these are the only people in the history of the war on AIDS that have been completely, totally cured. Yet you wouldn't know that because of the dark and dank politics of corruption and greed by people in the war on AIDS, exploiting the suffering of people in that horrible epidemic of AIDS for their own profiteering. I challenged them. I exposed them. I did a series of articles. I did documentaries like AIDS, Inc., and Pain, Profit, and Politics of AIDS, and AIDS, A Second Opinion, to show that, HIV is real, AIDS is real, but how they're treating it is not the way it should be treated. Anyhow, this is what was put together and hard prima facie evidence that you're going to see from top journalists, from publications, from all that's there. And mind you, the whole video is now public up on YouTube, and it's also front and center on PRN.FM. Please watch it and share it with other people. All right? And it's amazing because this is some of its 35-year-old footage. So that's what we're going to do today. However, our first study today comes from Dankook University in South Korea. And it's about green coffee beans. Now, there's a difference between green coffee beans and drinking coffee. This is the organic green coffee beans, and they exhibit very strong antioxidant benefits. And this study was published in the Journal of Medicinal Foods, and it suggests that fermentation of the beans enhances their benefit. So you can actually buy the beans or a powder from the beans that's not brewed, and therefore it doesn't create any of the adverse effects. And that's what's important, and that's because of the chemicals they found in the beans in the fermentation process, which helps your gut bacteria, and it also helps with human liver cancer cell lines. It kills them. Blueberries, the more blueberries you eat, the healthier you are good for your heart. This is according to the University of East Anglia, which is in the United Kingdom. Now, they're suggesting that you eat 150 grams of blueberries. Now, they're 20.35 grams to an ounce, so you're only talking about a cup. Not a lot, even less, of blueberries a day. Even a pint of blueberries would do good. And it reduces the risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 15%. That's terrific. And the research team is from the United Arab Emirates Department of Nutrition and Preventative Medicine, as well as Norwich Medical School and the University of Anglia. They all work together. So eat blueberries and have less of a risk of a heart attack or stroke and have a stronger heart and a better metabolism and better metabolic factors like controlling your blood sugar, controlling your blood pressure, and having less fat around your waist. From MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, studies show mindfulness improves grades and lowers stress among middle schoolers. Now, you've heard us talk a lot about mindful meditation, or the process of focusing all of your attention on the present moment. And it's typically thought of as an adult hobby and often associated with meditation. However, two new studies conducted at MIT have found that mindfulness can also be a helpful academic tool for young middle schoolers, and that mindfulness, simple exercises, improves student grades, reduces stress, and promotes less disruptive behavior in classrooms. Also, for the first time, the authors discovered that mindfulness can even change brain activity in middle schoolers for the better in an experiment that evaluated brain scans of students. So by definition, mindfulness is the ability to focus attention on the present moment as opposed to being distracted by external things or internal thoughts. Well, the world we live in, if you're realistic, it's all about distraction. Everything is about instantaneous gratification, and the more stimulation people have, the less they recall, the more stress they're under. Got to slow it down. Slow down the breathing. Slow down the activity. Slow living, slow food, slow eating, slow conversation, slow walks, all important. From Baylor University Medical Center shows that reduce cholesterol and improve heart health with the Indian gooseberry, G-O-O-S-E-B-E-R-R-Y. This was published in the British Medical Journal, Complementary and Alternative Medicine, suggests that just having the Indian gooseberry, and by the way, they're delicious, and I like them dry, and you can throw them into any smoothie or, you know, any kind of porridge that you're making, and they rehydrate, have like a bittersweet taste to them. But it reduces triglycerides, reduces cholesterol, both of which are associated with a greater risk of heart disease. And for diabetics and pre-diabetics, it helps to manage your blood lipid levels. It's the Indian gooseberry, loaded with fruit. It's grown in India, in the Middle East, some countries in the Southeast Asia as well. It's generally, for most people, it's a little sour, but it's very common in Ayurvedic medicine to treat many illnesses. And it's been shown to reduce cardiovascular disease that we've known about, but we didn't know that it could do all these other things. Now we do. So just have a handful, chew on them as a snack, and put them into something like a smoothie in the morning. In India, they use it in rice dishes as well. Also today, from the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is in France, soft drinks are associated with their risk of death in a population-based study in 10 European countries, meaning greater consumption of soft drinks, including both sugar and artificially sweetened, was associated with an increased risk of overall death in a population of 452,000 men and women from 10 European countries. Two or more glasses per day of total soft drinks, sweetened or non-sweetened, with artificial sweeteners, you are going to die sooner. And this was a 16-year follow-up. So that's important. So this Denmark and France and Germany and Greece and Italy and the Netherlands, Norway, Spain, Sweden, United Kingdom all participated. Yet in the United States, go into any movie theater, anyone, and what do you see in the before the coming attractions? You see all the soft drinks. You see all the junk. And that's conditioning people to think that's normal. Sit down in a movie theater and have some of their popcorn with the artificial butter on it and a soft drink. Well, not good for you. University of Colorado, sleeping too much, sleeping too little increases your risk of heart attacks. So even if you're a non-smoker who exercises and has no genetic predisposition to cardiovascular disease, skimping on sleep or getting too much sleep can boost your risk of heart attacks. According to this latest study, they looked at 500,000 people. It was published in the American Journal of the American College of Cardiology. So don't get too little or too much. How much? Over 9 hours is too much, and 6 hours or less is too little. Also, from the findings published in the Journal of Nutrition, done at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center, it shows that there is a long-term benefits on a low-fat diet. Now, I believe in healthy fats. Coconut oil is a saturated fat, but it's a healthy fat. I believe in the polyunsaturated fats, the monounsaturated fats like olive oil, avocado oil, walnut oil, almond oil. These are healthy oils. These are the oils we should be consuming, flaxseed oil, not the arachidonic acid producing trans fatty acids you get when you have your French fries or pretzels and donuts and all the fried junk that people eat and the pizzas. So this was women who are on a low-fat diet. According to the Journal of Nutrition, you're going to, and that means rich in fruits and vegetables and whole grains, you're going to reduce your risk of death. And this lower your breast cancer risk and lower your diabetes progression if you're on that kind of diet. And it just makes sense. The study involved 49,000 postmenopausal women. That's when their hormones are changing. So if you can reduce your risk of death by 30%, that's a big deal. Also from the University of Adelaide, vitamin B6 helps people recall their dreams. Yeah. Researchers found that taking vitamin B6, let's say 50 milligrams, can help a person better actualize, you know, and focus on their dreams. And for some people, that's important. Other people don't dream very much, and some people don't remember their dreams. And this was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled study. And finally, from Tabriz University Medical School, which is in Iran, ginseng can improve sexual dysfunction in menopausal women. This was a double-blind, randomized, controlled trial. So according to news originating from the university, sexual problems constitute a largely overlooked burden for women during menopause. And the present study was conducted to determine the effect of ginseng on sexual function and quality of life in menopausal women and in postmenopausal women with sexual dysfunction. And for those of you who are not familiar with this, and we don't really talk about this as a society, and we should. When women start going through perimenopause, which can last anywhere from a year to 8 years, meaning before they go into menopause, their hormones are shifting. They'll start seeing a thinning of the eyebrows, a thinning of the hair. They'll start looking at things like developing weight problems where they were not overeating, fatigue, insomnia, intrauterine infections, and also drying of the mucous membranes of the vagina, which makes it painful to have normal relations. So in the study I did with 500 women over a year, I was able to reverse menopause completely. So they were premenopausal, and 8 women who were postmenopausal. The oldest was 8 years postmenopausal, and she had like 40 different conditions. Brittle, fungus, toenails, fingernails, thin skin, infections that wouldn't heal, she had no libido, she was... all of her mucous membranes were dry, all of her eyebrows had fallen out, and she went back to being premenopausal. Her skin changed, her nails were pink and hard, and she was able to have normal relations for the first time, she said, in 12 years. So we had a lot of different things in that protocol, and this is just one thing. 500 milligrams of Panax, P-A-N-A-X ginseng, can make a difference. So this is important. So women, you do not have to look at postmenopause as something that cannot be reversed. It can be. And by the way, all these fancy creams, expensive creams people buy, all they're really doing is blocking the pores so that moisture doesn't evaporate from the skin. You can do that with coconut oil. All right. Now, we're going to take a break and come back, and we'll take just a few of your calls, maybe two, because I want to go to the film today. Mind you, this is only part of the film. You can watch the rest of the film by downloading the whole film, and you should, because on the one hand, the entire AIDS industrial complex has been controlled by the manufacturers and their agents that they pay enormous amounts of money to, and the total control over the media. The media is terrified to do anything about AIDS, to question how they treat it and their approach. So my articles were the first published back in the 1980s on this topic, and then I did five documentaries. But at the same time I was challenging them on their corruption and their profiteering off people suffering, I was also curing people. And yet you'd never know that. Could you imagine if any of the people working, the hundreds of thousands of scientists and hospitals working, if they could say, yeah, here's the absolute proof, here are the scientific records, here's the clinical studies, results, here's the blood chemistries, here's the patients, here's the doctors that treated the patients using the protocols. What do you think would be the outcome for that person? And yet, just the opposite occurred. All the proof in the world, hard proof, all brought together for the first time, and you're going to see it. Be back in a moment. Please stay with us.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. As many times as we've loved and we've shared love and made love, it doesn't seem to me like it's enough. That's not enough, man. Can't get enough of your love, man. Lord, some things I can't get used to. No matter how I try.
Hello, I'm seeing CBD products everywhere in health food stores, even supermarkets. Are they worth trying? Thank you.
Well, that depends upon what you're using it for. There are thousands of studies on the medicinal benefit of CBD oil. It will relieve symptoms in childhood asthma conditions, in autistic conditions. Everyone who I'm working with, I'm suggesting use it, who has autism. It reduces depression and anxiety. It can reduce cancer-related symptoms when persons undergoing conventional cancer treatment, like nausea, hair loss. It reduces acne. In fact, it's a mid-level analgesic, meaning it will treat pain more effectively than the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories, which killed over 60,000 Americans. It treats heroin and opiate addiction. It's good for brain health. It benefits those with multiple sclerosis and epilepsy. It's good for seizures. It's good for brain cancer. It's good for your heart. It lowers your blood pressure and associated with metabolic syndrome, meaning diabetes, heart attacks, and strokes. It's neuroprotective. It affects the outcome of strokes and cardiac emergencies. It reduces psychotic symptoms. It inhibits the growth of cancer cells in your colon. It has anti-tumor effects associated with lung cancer, brain cancer, prostate cancer, and breast cancer. It reduces inflammation associated with diabetes. It relieves Crohn's disease. It lowers impairment of brain function. And those are just some of the things that it does. Yeah, it's one of the best things in the world you could do. Absolutely. We'll take one more call.
You got chickenpox as a kid. How you maintain your long-term immunity?
I think the person said it wasn't clear. If you've had chickenpox as a kid, how do you maintain your long-term immunity? Is that what she said? Yes. Okay. When you're calling in to leave your question or make a statement at our number, and our voicemail number is 862-800-6805, 862-800-6805, please speak directly into the telephone, all right, without air conditioning on in the background, which is what it sounds like. So when you have chickenpox as a child, you have lifetime immunity to chickenpox. If, however, you are vaccinated with the chickenpox vaccine, that is not giving you lifetime immunity, and it can actually give you shingles. We now have an epidemic of adult shingles from people taking the chickenpox vaccine. That's just bad science. However, to strengthen your immune system, look at fresh juices every day, a plant-based diet, de-stressing, exercising both resistance and aerobic on at least 6 days a week, a schedule. Take proper supplements like Pau D'Arco, echinacea, astragalus, vitamin C, quercetin, zinc, and multi-B-complex, including B12 and folic acid at 500 micrograms and 25 milligrams of each of the B1, B2, and B6. If you are taking adequate protein, you should have your protein in once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once in the evening. You can take it in liquid form also. That maintains your immune system, irrespective of what infections come your way. Okay? Now, that's all the time we have for that. I just want to mention this Saturday, before we go to our film, and this film is not one documentary. It's a compilation of old footage brought together by Roland Marconi, who I've worked with for 30 years, so that you can see the proof about what I've done and our medical team has done to help people with full-blown AIDS. And so it's not hearsay. It's not one person having some, you know, reversal of their condition. These are all well documented, and they were researched extensively by major journalists, including Emmy Award-winning journalists, prior to me being invited on their television programs. They weren't about to risk the network's reputation and their personal reputation by bringing on someone who's a quack or a charlatan. You have no idea the hours they spent reviewing the scientific literature, then the actual blood workups, interviewing the patients, the medical records before they said, yes, you've done it. Yet this never got out. Never got out anywhere. And that's amazing. But that's how powerful the AIDS industrial complex, and it's hundreds of billions of dollars. We estimate it over $800 billion today. They didn't want anyone knowing there's a natural non-toxic approach to that disease. And so they push back with condemnations instead of some appreciation. In any case, this coming Saturday at 5:30, I'll be doing an original lecture before a group of jurists on a 9/11 panel who've got brand new information to share with you in the world, truths that are now coming out that we have not known in the past. These are not conspiracy theorists. These are very respected people, including 200 firefighters and their police chief is going to be there, or their fire chief, who all acknowledged before the planes hit there were bombs going off in the basement. And they heard him. They felt them. One was blown against a wall. This is before the plane hit. So let the people in the establishment try to answer what we're talking about. Come, it's at 80th Street and Lexington Avenue in a church there. It starts at 3, goes to 7, and I'm lecturing at 5:30. Now to our special compilation of the proof that HIV and AIDS, and by the way, not only were acknowledged by me, you can see it in my documentary from 35 years ago. There's a patient, right under the patient, you see HIV infected. And you'll see them telling their stories. But the establishment didn't want to hear their stories. The mainstream media didn't want to hear their stories. You'll see people that I was working with ACT UP in there, talking about the natural approach and the politics of making money off this disease, which was not right. You've never seen this before. This is all brand new information put together from our archives.
No, who says he can now offer evidence that people diagnosed with, quote, AIDS, who have turned to a non-toxic lifestyle, also return to good health. I'm Tony Brown. In a moment, good news about AIDS and HIV.
This man has been helped. I brought two other people on your show 3 years ago. They're both alive and well and continue to remain seroconverted.
Now let's talk about this man. This man, you say, is the benefactor of your protocol.
Yes.
All right, now we're going to ask him his experience. Then I'd like for you to describe what the protocol was.
So I took the HIV test, and it turned out to be positive. So I panicked. I said, wow, I don't want to die. I'm very young.
How old were you?
Almost like 30, 32 years old. Anyway, I said, I don't want to die. So I started going to the doctors, and the doctor says, well, I took a blood test. My my T-cell count was at 800. So that's pretty good.
That's very good, T-cell count. 800. Mm-hmm.
So right away, he says, take this. Well, we're going to give you a prescription of ACT. I said, but, you know, from what I gather, I think I'm pretty healthy still to take these toxic drugs that you're prescribing me.
How long did you stay on AZT?
Well, he did prescribe me the AZT drug, and I did take it for like a week or two.
So you didn't use it very long?
No, I took it for a week or two because I started getting sick off of it. I started getting like blurry vision, and I started, my body was starting to change. I felt something like taking over my system.
Did you get your CD4 count, your blood count, after you took the AZT?
No, this was before.
But after you did take it, did your count go down? CD4 count?
Yes, it did.
What did it go down to?
As a matter of fact, it went down to 600. Then
went from 800 to 600.
Yeah,
in a short period of time.
So I just didn't feel good. It just didn't. My body just, I was being drawn. So I put the drug and just put it in the garbage can. I just didn't want to take that.
Now, after you got with Dr. No, and you then got involved in his program using his protocol?
Yes.
Now, what happened to you health-wise after you got involved in his program?
Well, right after I started doing his protocol, my lymph nodes went down. Now they're completely normal. They're down. I don't feel anything. I had them like for years.
How long have they been down?
4 years.
4 years?
4 years, yeah.
And how long did it take after you started the program with Dr. Noel before they went down?
It took me about a good 6 to 8 months. Mm-hmm. I started like detoxifying my system, and I just improved my health. I gained weight, for one, and I feel great right now.
Now, these are medical records you brought with you today.
That's right. You have 12 copies of my medical records there.
What do these medical records
prove?
Well,
one is a PCR test. PCR test indicates the viral low level, HIV viral low level. It's negative.
What does that mean?
That means that there is no HIV virus in my system. It's out. They can't detect it in a blood test.
There are many tests that he's taken. It's not just one test. I ask individuals to test when they're at this level almost every 2 to 3 months for at least a year. And the reason I do this is because other physicians and public health officials should know that there's good science in the alternative perspective. And it may not be a therapy that they're familiar with because they're just not trained in it. But if the results are positive and you can document them and you have good medical blood workups, I mean, the blood workups are done at all the standard labs, and the physicians are all board certified physicians who are actually overseeing and administering the actual therapy, then either they say yes or no.
I'd like to get your view of the latest breakthrough, the headlines in the papers this week.
What breakthrough? I mean, we're not in the ice ages. This is an embarrassment. And unfortunately, this is exactly the kind of propaganda that the media has allowed to perpetuate as if this is the most exciting thing happening. Why didn't the media cover the story that ozone in vitro, same test tube, kills the AIDS virus? Linus Pauling's Institute of Virology showed that vitamin C can kill the AIDS virus. The glutathione, there are many, many different things that have been shown to do this. And I'm concerned that people will once again start looking for a drug combination and forget that we have live human bodies who have gone from having AIDS to normal, who've been HIV positive, who've never converted into AIDS, and who have gone from HIV positive to seronegative. I have two of those here. Now, this should make a headline. This won't get any attention. But in a test tube, suddenly that makes headlines. To me, that's absurd.
Get to our guests today. We'll call them Jack and Joan because they do not want to be identified. And we're going to talk to them about their conditions, and then maybe you can tell us what's being done to help them.
All right.
To our guests, who are in silhouette, Jack and Joan, when did you discover that you were HIV positive?
I would say about a year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And I might point out that you're married. You're
yes.
both married.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, what led to that discovery?
Well, for a while I was feeling sick. At one time I was using recreational drugs for a while. And for a while I started feeling myself really physically tired, lost of weight. I didn't have much energy. And I figured maybe because of my lifestyle in the past, I decided to take the test to find out that I was positive.
Mm-hmm. And did your wife decide to do the same thing? Did you tell her you were positive and then she went and took the same test?
Yes, I found out first, and when I found out I was positive, I told my wife to get tested because I had the fear that she was positive.
Now, how long ago was this?
This was about
a year and a half.
About a year and a half. Okay, and you started taking what kind of treatment?
I had went to a doctor, and they prescribed AZT. And I was on AZT for approximately 6 weeks, and I didn't feel much of a change. In fact, I was still tired. I still had the weight loss. I was hearing a lot of negative things about it, as well as feeling negative things about it. And I had attended a seminar and decided to get off the AZT. And I took a nutritional route. And I just made a big change in my diet. Big change in my diet, big change in my lifestyle. I had cut out a lot of things. And It seemed to help a lot. I started feeling a lot better.
Now, what's the prognosis for both of you today?
Well, I just want to say that I started out, you know, the first thing they tell you to do is to have your cell count taken, and I went from a 600, which is below normal, to 1,000, which is a normal cell count for anyone who is even not HIV, and I guess, you know, less than a year. We went to Gary's seminar and cut out everything as far as anything that would be bad for you, sugar, caffeine, drinking, smoking. I even stay away from passive smoke. We just follow a very, very healthy diet, and I can honestly say I feel in well health. And my husband went from a having like no T cells to a very positive test now that I guess Gary will explain to you that it's not active at all.
Yes, I think we'll turn to
the most important thing here is this.
Work it here.
This is a test from Roche Biomedical Laboratories, which is a division of Hoffman Roche.
Turn it around a little bit.
This is an official blood chemistry test. This shows that, and here's what's important, and this is why we're not talking about a test tube and stopping a virus in a test tube. These are live human beings. Their physician, using a holistic protocol, and this is a regular orthodox doctor, in a year, this person went from HIV positive, active virus, to P24 antigen test negative. Mm-hmm. HIV antibody positive. That means the HIV, to have no antigen, 24, means you have no active HIV active in the body. All you have is the antibody. Now, that means this person has made substantial improvement. And this should be getting some attention because it shows, and this is not the only person. There are many people like this.
That would be the question. People say, well, sometimes, you know, these things happen in isolation, so to speak.
Let me find this. You have physicians watching right now. Any physician treating a patient with AZT and DDI and DDC, please send me any results where you have someone who tested positive using standard tests for HIV P24 antigen positive, who after using those therapies, after a year, tested negative, and also has no active viral titers and no opportunistic disease. I'd be very interested in seeing that, because I haven't found any, but I found many who've taken the different approach. Is that your experience?
Okay,
yes. My experience is with tens of thousands of people. The reason our group focuses on alternative approaches is the people doing the best are using them. Across the board, without exception, the people who are following the advice of the media and the advice of the medical establishment are dead or dying. Our group has repeatedly seen over and over again the people who are living with AIDS and those at risk who are staying healthy are using alternative treatments to AZT, DDI, and DDC.
I would like for you now to tell us, there are three documents that we have. I'd like for you to explain the document to us and tell us what we're looking at.
All right, the first one is a test called P24 antigen, which measures the amount of viral activity in the blood. Prior to going through hyperthermia, I was P24 antigen positive. I was also culture positive for the HIV virus. I had active virus, so you could grow it out of my blood. I was also PCR positive, which is the test that determines whether you are infected with HIV as compared to being exposed, which is what an antibody test shows. Post-treatment, the first test that came back was the P24 antigen test. That went negative. That's the second document that you see. The third test...
It went negative after you began the therapy.
After I went through the therapy. In my case, it was a one-shot deal.
Now, what does it mean, negative and positive? Help the public understand.
Negative means that there's no longer activity, no longer viral activity occurring.
So the HIV virus was no longer active.
That's correct. It became dormant. Or it is, in my case now, I am free of it. I still have antibodies to it because there are, I think, a lot of researchers and activists and people should understand that antibodies are healthy and good for you. You want them. That's what your body uses to fight disease.
It's nature's vaccination, isn't
it? That is correct. But here we use it in a negative connotation by saying, well, if you have the HIV antibodies, now you're going to get sick and die. Wrong. The third thing, which is the most recent of my blood work, shows that my T cell count has come back up to normal, and that's the thing that determines just where your immune system is, your immunological status. I am within the normal range now.
Now,
for
what did
T cells.
When you started out, your T cell count, which used to be the marker for AIDS and is still one of the markers, I believe, what was your, when you began, before you began treatment, when you had full-blown AIDS, what was your T-cell count?
Well, according to Center for Disease Control standards, I was in the 200 range. Therefore, I had AIDS.
200 or below is designated as AIDS.
That's correct. Plus, I had herpes in the lung. I had KS lesions, which are Kaposi's sarcoma, in my mouth, down my throat, on my leg. I had been put out on disability in 1989 from high titers of cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr virus, the herpes in the lung, which had gotten to the point where I was having trouble breathing. I was coughing to the point where I was coughing up blood. Nothing. Straight drugs of codeine could not stop the cough. I had lost weight. I was 30 pounds lighter than I am now. Now, 3 years later, it was March 2nd, 1991, I went through this therapy at the University of Rome in Italy. 3 years later, I am still viral-free, no opportunistic infections whatsoever. So I've just celebrated a third anniversary, which is, I think, a major mark in terms of this disease.
And your T-cell count now is
normal.
Is normal, and it's around 800?
Yes.
Had I not seen the lab results with my own eyes, I probably would not have believed that something like this was possible. So I studied and I watched and I saw no less, in the time that I was there, I saw no less than 8 people completely reverse AIDS. I had never seen this in the medical community in the hospital.
Garinol was implementing some of the supplements, like vitamin C, like many other vitamins that work directly in increasing the immune system. And we had lot of patients. We had good results, very good results. In fact, there were some patients that they were absolutely convert from positive to negative. More or less, I cannot give you exactly that how many there were, but there are 10 that I know. And some of them, they are still all right today. In fact, in New Jersey, to Dr. Radu Kramer, was Saturday a patient that she was working, I can say because she working in a jail. She was a policeman there, and one of the patients bit her and was transmitted. And she's still all right and in remission after all those years. That was 1982, 1983. I spoke with her Saturday. I didn't ask her.
With Gary, what he did was change the person's diet completely, which was what I did. They stopped eating as much as the garbage that they were eating, the sugars and a lot of other things. Anything that would lower their immune system, we put them on green juicing, we put them on supplements, and they did remarkably well for those who did, who followed. Not everybody would follow. Let's face it, not everybody is going to follow a protocol. But those people who did follow the protocol, and there were a few of them, that really were fantastic. They did ozone. They did vitamin C drips. We cleansed their system as much as possible. We did stress reduction. They were put on low-dose naltrexone. They were put on many, many different things. And there are a few people that serum converted. But I can't say that everybody did, because you're not going to do it, because it's too much of a change. Even because they can't equate a diet, because they've been eating it all their life, with sickness. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. So that they figured, oh, I've been eating all my life. This is not going to change. But it's lifestyle. It's everything that's connected with it. And once you make that change, it was remarkable, absolutely remarkable.
I saw Gary in the hallway one day, and I said, Gary, my name is Doug Henderson, blah, blah, blah. I've listened to you for so long. I'm friends with Arthur Ashe, and he hasn't come out yet, but I'd like to be proactive and get him on one of these protocols, if this is true. And the HIPAA laws were different back then in terms of medical records. Now you can't reveal anything. So Gary took me back in his office. He showed me, I think it was 5 or 6 medical records. And it was not just one medical record, but for each client, each patient, he had, after every 3 months or so, another lab workup done. And so you could see the progression. And these people, according to the records, had seroconverted, had no traces of AIDS or no traces of the HIV virus in their system, which was remarkable.
Looking back at the people who were there but looked at AIDS from a different perspective, challenging HIV infection in their body, but from a natural and non-toxic perspective.
I've worked with people who have 700 T cells and their health isn't compromised at all, and they're miserable, and all they can think about, what'll happen if I become demented? What'll happen if I lose my health insurance? What'll happen if I lose my job? How will I tell my mother? How will I do this? And life is totally cheated.
The most important thing is I feel some hope. I feel like it's not a death sentence, because that's what I felt I had until I started doing this on my own. And probably the thing that makes me the most angry is that my doctor still denies that this can work.
I would say the quality of my life is better today than it was 10 years ago. I think I'm more focused. I have more energy. I see more purpose to my life. I don't really get depressed a lot.
AIDS for me is truly a wake-up call. Physically, it made me take care of myself. I stopped smoking, I stopped drinking, I stopped doing drugs, because I knew I would die if I continued that way. It made me very aware of my body, you know. And then that's the physical component. The spiritual dimension of what AIDS has done for me has really put me in touch with my center, my higher power, or whatever you want to call it. It works, it's powerful. You know, and then emotionally, after all the depression and all the suicide and all the initial heartbreak of losing people you love, it's made me stronger. I think you need to wake up with a positive attitude, clear your mind, and basically acknowledge that you're alive and you're well. All of this is to center me for the day, because when you leave that little area that you live in, you have to deal with out there. You have to constantly be reminded you have AIDS, be reminded that you're sick, you're ill. So if you walk out of the house thinking, I'm not well, I'm fine, I feel good. So my meditation enables me to maintain that. Actually, I practice Qigong, which is a form of Tai Chi, as well as Tai Chi, on different days. You shouldn't do them all too close together. So Qigong, which is a form of Tai Chi, and yoga. Yoga, which is very strenuous. It is hard, so I don't do as much yoga as I really feel I should. I have my herbs, I have my teas, which I make in advance, so they're ready in the refrigerator. And that I will warm up, and that is prescribed to me by my Chinese doctor. And, you know, I go through the necessary preparation of them, and so I store them. And then I add my own little things to them. I currently am cleansing my liver, so I'm working with products that are powdered form, and I add them to his tea, as well as a T-cell builder, a thymus builder, basically. I mean, it's a composite thing. You know, you have to keep your mind in shape, you have to keep your body and parts of your body in shape, and spiritually as well. I am in deep prayer most of the day, praying for the best, you know, and not only for myself, but my friends.
After I started to recover from my initial confusion and fear, finding out that I was HIV positive, I said to myself, okay, now it's time to get serious and really explore ways of taking care of yourself the best way possible. And I really, you know, I was an addict, drug and alcohol. I did everything I could to get out of my body. So everything that I've been doing since then has been to try to get into my body. And I do that with exercise, meditation techniques that involve breathing, anything that sort of brings me into the moment and back into my body. I put together a little ritual that I try to do as often as I can in the mornings. It's pieces of Tai Chi and yoga and a Chinese exercise system called the 18 Therapies, plus little meditation. And I feel so different after I do that in the morning. It's incredible. It sees me through the whole day. I also try to connect with nature as much as I can. It's very difficult living in the city, but I'm fortunate to have a garden where I live in Brooklyn, and I love to just get out there and dig in the dirt and look at the worms and see the growing things, and it helps to remind me of the cycles of life. And when I can, I get off into the forest, and there the cycles of things are so obvious and so beautiful. I try to connect with that, and try to connect with the life force in everything that I see.
The food is really our main teaching tool, because people come down to the center, they sit at our family style tables, they get a lot of support from the people around them, they're able to share healing resources, information about new treatments, interesting stuff that comes up. But the food is the main teaching tool. They see it, they're able to experience it, then they want to know more about it. And that's where we're able to follow up with our classes in cooking, our lectures.
And the name Whole Foods Project pretty much says it all. We serve organic, vegetarian food, and Whole Foods simply means food that is as close to its natural state as possible. So we don't use canned foods, we don't use highly processed foods, we don't use any dairy or meat, so we are a vegan program. It certainly makes a difference when you start caring about something and you want to know where your food came from, you want to know that it wasn't grown with chemicals. And there's another element of this. These chemicals are not only hurting us, but they're hurting the farm workers that are using it. And so we have to sort of start broadening our view and seeing what is the real effect of the standard American diet. And so when we take it home, we care for it, we cook it, we serve it with love, we're really taking care of ourselves. And that may be more important, actually, than what we're eating.
There is one thing that I want the whole world to realize, that HIV is not, and AIDS, a death sentence. I am living proof of that. And there are many, many, many friends of mine and a whole subculture of us that are just fine with no T cells. So it is not a death sentence. It is one door closing and a window opening.
I felt when I first was diagnosed that this was a signal for me that I really had to change my life and that I didn't have a choice anymore. I made a decision that I could look at this as being a victim or look at it as another one of life's adventures, and I decided to look at it as an adventure.
When I was diagnosed, my first reaction was nausea, and then the next reaction, I can honestly say that was a feeling that I am not going to die. I'm not going to let myself die. You know, if there's anything at all that I can do to contribute to, you know, to my being healthy and my future, then I was going to try and find out what it was and do it.
I decided that I really wanted to live. And in doing that, I decided to do anything and everything that was possible to make sure that my life would be full and that I would enjoy the moment because it was too precious.
I started doing a lot of reading as far as reading my own blood work so I knew what questions to ask my doctors. Many of my doctors got frustrated with me. They would, tell me they're the authority, that they know that not to get caught up in this, but I always wanted to know. And I fired quite a few doctors.
Over and over again, people come to our meetings and say something very similar to what he said. I'm feeling better than ever. AIDS was the best thing that ever happened to me. When I heard that the first time, it gave me a headache. I couldn't understand how someone can say that. But then you hear it over and over again, and you carefully understand what's being said. What's being said is the people were empowered. They took charge of their lives, the whole way of living. It's more than simply their health, but their whole relationship to their life has changed. And it's one where they're ready, willing, and able, and reliant on themselves to do whatever they need to do.
I believe spirituality has a major part to play in my health. And I believe my emotional state has a great deal to play in my health.
If that means that you feel that you want to do acupuncture or you want to do vitamin C drip or ozone or hyperthermia or whatever, that you should be allowed to do it. Unfortunately, the way things are set up, we don't allow that.
You have to do it out of love, out of concern, with intelligence and with knowledge, not out of the desperation of fear, because it's not going to work. You're going to be cramming all this stuff into you, and you're not going to accomplish anything.
What I went back to is the traditional Southern Italian diet of fresh fruits and vegetables. And I went to a meeting once, and I heard a man speak named Matthew Grace, and he gave a seminar on natural hygiene. And I found out it's what my family has been practicing all along. Fresh, clean, homegrown vegetables.
A physician of mine, and also that of my former business partner, had seen a program on CNN about something called whole body hyperthermia. That is a treatment where the body is heated up to above a temperature of 108 degrees, which would be 42 centigrade, at which it is known from medical literature that it can kill certain types of cancer cells, certain types of viruses, and also possibly even the HIV virus. It also enhances and boosts the immune system. Prior to leaving, we had extensive blood work done. I had tested PCR positive, which tests for the DNA of HIV, antibody positive, P24 antigen positive, culture positive, and had a CD4 count of about 200. Today, I can tell you it is 33 months later. I no longer have any of the Kaposi sarcoma that I had on my thigh, down my throat. The herpes that I had in the lung that caused the cough, made me cough up blood, gone. My CMV, Epstein-Barr, gone. And what astounded the researchers over at the University of Rome and here in the United States was the fact that I went from P24 antigen positive to P24 antigen negative. And I am also now PCR negative, and I am also culture negative, which means that they cannot grow the virus in my blood any longer. Also, my immune system has come back up to normal. I now have a CD4 count of about 800 to 900, but a CD8 count of about 2800, which they can't explain, and the Pasteur Institute wants to do a little work on.
Talking about this visualization, you know, they know down to a scientific certainty that your, you know, receptor cells and neuropeptides are getting all screwed up with every bad thought you have, and that's going to bring everything down too. So meditation, I do it half an hour every morning, and I'm trying to get it to half an hour every night also, and it's at least 50% of the battle is your thought process, I'm sure.
Those are just some of the journalists and people in the healthcare field who are there to validate that 35 years ago, at two separate research and treatment clinics, the Institute of Applied Biology and the Tri-State Healing Center, based upon the protocols that I had created, medical teams were able, and I was there every day working with people. And by the way, we would talk with the patients and say, are you open to having journalists and researchers and doctors review your medical records? They say, absolutely. And so they would come and they would speak with these people. They wanted to see the blood workups. They wanted to see, show us the before, during, after, and follow-up, and we had them all. When I held the press conference, and we invited every gay organization, AIDS organization, and every newspaper, radio and television station in the United States, over 7,000 media alone, and 10,000 AIDS organizations, and we had 100 people, 12 of those people I'd worked with, but all the rest came from other natural non-toxic approaches around the United States. It took us a year to put that together. Not a single person in the media showed up. Not a single article written about it, except the African-American community. There you saw a top journalist, Earl Caldwell, and Doug Henderson, and Tony Brown. Tony Brown had me on 6 times, with patients each time, and their medical records. So now you know the truth. Natural non-toxic doesn't make people profitable, doesn't win you Nobel Prizes, doesn't get to go to the head of the class, but it saved lives. And while people were dying by the tens of thousands taking AZT, we were saving 1,200 lives myself, and we had it all documented. So this is just a part of the censorship. And there are hate campaigns, there are destroy the messenger campaigns, because I was the journalist before anyone else who went out there and exposed the corruption, the profiteering off this deadly disease. I'm happy for the work I did. I'm confident that at some point this information may get out, but you're up against enormously powerful people in the gay community, the AIDS community, and in the pharmaceutical community, and in governmental agencies who dare not tell the full truth about any disease, and they haven't. And right now they control Wikipedia, they control Google, they control the search engines, they control the major media, they control the scientific funding. So right now they win. So here the world could have natural non-toxic treatments that could work, and they won't know it. They won't be provided with that information. You have that knowledge now. You have the facts. Watch the entire documentary, and it will be followed by 5 full documentaries that I did over the last 35 years. The last one was about 12 years ago, where you'll be able to see all this in detail. Thank you all for watching, and have a nice day.